Hello and welcome to Martially Motivated. I'm your host, Dan Burrell with Burrell Martial Arts. On this episode, I talk about the SNS, the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, and recognizing a threat and that prevention mindset and why it's so important to train that reptilian brain you've got there. You'll understand what that means once we get into this, but I had a couple other podcasts going. Brent came over a couple times to do podcast, and unfortunately, both of those podcasts just died. I really still don't understand what happened. They recorded, everything was fine, and then it just gone. I'm still learning all this stuff. I'm sure I did something wrong, but I'm trying something new today. Hopefully this one goes through, but you'll hear him back. Brent will keep coming back for more of these. I do hope to get more instructors in and martial artists in, just random people. I've got a lot of plans for people as long as they're willing to show up. So anyway, hope you enjoy this next podcast. Today, I want to talk about, specifically, I want to talk about the SNS, the sympathetic nervous system, and the PNS, parasympathetic nervous system. Most of my students have heard this, and I'm still surprised how few people actually understand this. I would hope most martial artists understand it, because it's absolutely critical. It's kind of what we all work for. I want to give you a quick explanation of it and why it's important here before I go into a little more detail. PNS, parasympathetic nervous system, is kind of where you're at right now. If you're listening to this and relaxed, you're in that system. That's what's going on. Your body is digesting. It's sending blood everywhere it needs to, but not to where it doesn't need to. So if you're just kind of laying down and listening to this, it's going just to the major areas that you need to hear this, and that's it. If you're out for a run, it's going into your toes and your fingers and the major muscle groups. So that is the basis of your body. That's how everything functions properly. When it's not in a threat zone. Now, what's going to happen at some point, I'll explain why in a moment, you're going to hit the SNS, sympathetic nervous system. This is kind of like a little, I call it your twin. There's a mental twin going on inside your body that you're currently, if you haven't trained it, are not in control of. And what it does is it takes over when something jacks up the heart rate suddenly. So if you got scared or frightened really quick, that's when the SNS is going to kick in. Let's say you're in a car accident and your child is trapped under a car. This SNS is why you can lift that car up potentially. It drops and dumps that adrenaline into your body. And at the same time, you may go deaf or close to it. You may have tunnel vision. You may not remember much about what happened. You may be able to pick up that car, throw it off the child, get them to safety, and then collapse for quite a while. It taxes the body dramatically. It is your survival mechanism. It may sound like a great thing, and potentially it can be, but you don't want it to trigger. And that's what we're going to be talking about. If you're trained properly, you can avoid it, because even though that sounds great to have that superhuman strength, and that part is, it's kind of a one shot and you're done. And it can't, there's so many negatives behind this SNS. The tunnel vision, not being able to hear properly. Basically, what's happening here, it's your survival mechanism. So you're honing in on one thing, the threat, whatever that threat is. So maybe it's an attacker, and that attacker is hitting you. And you feel your life is threatened, so you're hitting that SNS. It came out of nowhere. You didn't expect it, and bam, it hits. I'm going to go back into kind of what happens here and why it's triggered for a moment. Essentially, it's triggered by your heart rate. Your heart rate is, it kind of determines a lot of things that are happening in your body, and everything comes down to your heart rate, because that's the part we need to know. Because even though you may not think you can control your heart rate, there are things you can do to control your heart rate. And that's what's important, because that's the one element we can control in this involuntary response. And the being able to control your heart rate can control whether or not you go into that SNS or not. And again, that SNS, it's not necessarily a good thing. If you don't know what you're doing, it just hits, and then it's also known as your fight or flight or freeze. If you've ever heard of that, it's basically, that's what they're talking about. And you'll hear fight or flight, and what a lot of people forget is the freeze part. And most people today will freeze. They will not fight, they will not flight and run, they will freeze. And the reason being, we are conditioning our bodies day in and day out to sit there and do nothing. That's why things like martial arts classes and gym classes at school, recess, just physicality in general is so important. If you're not doing that, then your body doesn't have anything to go back to when it's frightened and it hits that system. It does whatever it's trained to do. And right now, if you've had no martial arts training, you've never gone out and done any lifting or running or anything physical, your body doesn't know how to do it. It's not like it's going to magically figure out how to do all this stuff. So without all this training, it just goes, and then it's over. Think of a deer in the headlights. It hasn't been trained to punch or kick. It's been trained to run, but it still freezes. So freezing tends to be the major result these days. Some people will still run. Some people will still throw that big ugly punch and then run, or whatever it may be. But if you are trained as a martial artist, you will do whatever you are trained to do. And that is why training is so damn important. Because if you're not trained to do anything, you won't do anything. And that's what keeps happening. People will get attacked, and they'll be, whether it's beaten up or stabbed or stolen from or whatever it may be, they hit that SNS, and all this stuff happens, and they just freeze. And then it's over, and they go, oh my God, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? I saw this on TV once where you can choke this guy. I watch UFC all the time. How did I not do all this stuff? I know this stuff. I've read a book on this stuff. I can't believe I just stood there. What's wrong with me? That's what's wrong, is you didn't train it. You didn't physically train it. And that's what we're constantly trying to work towards as martial artists, is physically embed this into your DNA. You need to practice so much it's unconscious. And when I test my students for black belt, I wear them out. They're exhausted by the time they're finished. And it's when they're finished and they're exhausted, that's when I actually really start to focus in on what they're doing. And if they are still moving and still defending themselves, and I still see technique coming out to defend themselves, that's when I know that they've done this long enough and have worked hard enough to ingrain these movements while the SNS hits. So even if you don't hit it, your goal is not to hit this, essentially. It's going to happen at some point if you're frightened or suddenly hit. But that's where things like awareness and prevention come in. If you know what to look for, you can think this through and give yourself time to prepare for it so that you don't enter the SNS. And that's inevitably what you're trying to hit, is to avoid the SNS, so you can rationally think through these things. So let's go through essentially what's going to happen. Let's say someone jumps out at you from behind. You were not expecting them. You just walked around the corner, and bam, they're right there. They've got a knife or another weapon, and they start going after you. You're going to hit the SNS. I don't care who you are. Unless you train to do this and have people jump out at you, which most martial artists don't do that, but some have just been through this before and they won't hit it. But the average person is going to hit the SNS. And what's going to happen here, their heart rate is going to get jacked up. When your heart rate, right now your heart rate, if you're, again, just kind of sitting back and listening to this, your heart rate's probably between 60, 70, somewhere around there. Everyone's a little different. That's your resting heart rate. When you're exercising, you get warmed up, you're getting your heart rate up into that 100, 110, maybe 120. Well, I think 150 is kind of prime for most people, but that's to get all the blood pumping, all the muscles working, you're good to go. All right, you're at peak performance at that point, 115-ish, we'll call it 115. But if it goes beyond that, and suddenly, and without you being the one that causes this, it just happens, and it goes up to 200 beats per minute, which is going to happen when you're frightened suddenly, that's when the SNS is going to hit. When the heart rate goes that high, it kicks in, because it just makes the assumption that your life is in danger somehow. And you may have felt this before. Maybe you saw a rat run across your toes and you weren't expecting it. Bam, I guarantee you hit it for a moment. You freaked out. You may have frozen. You may have ran. You may have screamed. You may have tried to kick the rat, whatever it may be. That's the flight or flight or freeze, whatever you did at that moment. So think back to any time that you were suddenly scared and like super scared. Again, maybe it was a snake that crawled across your toes. Think back to that feeling. That feeling was the SNS, the fight or flight or freeze. Whatever you did at that moment, that's what your body's going to do. Did you run? Did you kick that snake across the yard? Did you just stand there and go, oh crap, and have nothing happen? Flight, fight, freeze. That's who you are. You can train it, but for the most part, you're going to be fighting whatever it is you're conditioned to do. So that's where being trained heavily can kick in. Maybe over time, you realize and you've studied snakes and go, oh, that's just a garter snake. It's no big deal. It can't bite me. It's not poisonous or venomous, excuse me. It's actually good. We like these things in our yard, so there's no reason to be upset over this. I'm cool. That's the prevention and awareness side. Because you learned and you prepared to understand the situation at hand was not critical and you did not hit the SNS. But let's say you look down and it's a rattlesnake and it is ready to bite. Now it's going to kick in. All right. Assuming you haven't had this issue numerous times over, you're going to hit that thing. All right. So what's going to happen is the heart rate skyrockets 200 beats per minute or more. And then all the blood in your body is going to pull away from the limbs, the fingers, the toes, potentially even the arms and the legs. It depends on how deep into this SNS you get. And if the deeper it goes, the less you can do, the more you're going to freeze. And basically what's happening, it's taking that blood and it's pulling it back to just where it's needed to survive. So your heart, your lungs, your not even parts of your brain, parts of your brain, but there's certain parts, like the cognitive parts of your brain, are going to get shut down. So what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to think clearly. So you're not going to look back and go, oh, I remember what happened in this scenario when I was watching UFC the other day. This guy did this, and then I'm going to do this. Your brain isn't working that way. Your brain is only working on that reptilian portion, the instinctive portion. That's the part we train when we train in martial arts. When you do something thousands of times over, that is training the reptilian brain. That is training the SNS system. So if you've trained yourself to deal with this scenario, it's going to do whatever you trained. You're not going to think about it. You're just going to do it. So if you haven't trained it, you're just going to freeze, run away, or have a horrible punch thrown at this person. It'll have power behind it, but if you don't know where to throw it or how to make a fist properly, you're just going to hurt yourself. And the other parts of this is your vision is going to narrow. You're going to see just what's in front of you, which hopefully is the threat. And hopefully there's only one threat, because if there's two, you're not going to see the second one. Your hearing is going to be honed in on that one threat. So you're going to hear potentially what that one threat has to say. But again, if you're not focused on that one threat, or there's multiple threats, you're going to miss some of it. There's many times where they've reported, let's say, police officers. This is where we get a lot of information, by the way, is from police officers. I've worked with quite a few over the years and read a lot of books. If you're looking for a book, by the way, I've got a whole list of them, but on this type of stuff, Rory McDonald, I believe that was the name, Rory, that could be Rory something. Meditations on Violence, I believe, is one of his books. But he's got a whole list of books that are fantastic. And they talk about this, because this man's been through everything and he doesn't sweat anything at this point. He never hits the SNS anymore. He talks about that in his books. But anyway, hopefully I remember his last name. I don't think it was McDonald's. Rory something. Anyway, point being, you can't hear that. There's been police officers that say they never heard a single shot, but yet it was reported and seen that five shots were fired. I'm like, that can't be. I didn't hear any of them. Well, they were in the SNS. They went deaf. They did not look at it. Therefore, they did not recognize it and did not hear it. And that can be an issue. That's going to be a huge issue. So that's an issue. Now, think of that blood. The blood that pulled back just into where it's needed to survive. Not thrive, survive is another issue. If you can't, if you don't have blood in your fingers, how do you expect to pull the trigger to shoot a gun? Or pull that knife out of the sheath or your pocket or wherever it is? Or make a fist, even grab somebody. These things aren't going to happen if there's no blood in your hands. So you need to be training to work these muscle groups while something bad is happening. And that is a crucial element of training. That's why we spar. The first few times you start sparring, you're not going to do anything right. You're going to make mistakes left and right. That's just normal. But the more you do it, the more relaxed you get. You no longer hit that SNS. And our goal as the instructor is to put you into that SNS as often as possible, realistically. You can't live in that. And we learned that through, unfortunately, through Vietnam. That's why so many Vietnam vets had issues. They were over in war, in SNS, for days, if not weeks at a time. And you cannot survive that way and not have repercussions. And we've learned that, and we've taken steps in since then for our soldiers that come back, things like debriefings, and they have a certain amount of time that they're out in the field, and they have to come back. It's no choice. You have to, because this is the reason why. You can't live in this SNS. And if there's gunshots being fired or violence around you, you're not going to relax. All right. So anyway, a little derailment there, but coming back, SNS has a lot of negatives. Now, it gives you that little boost of strength so that you can run away really fast or potentially hit this target and do some damage to keep it at bay. And then the other part of this, the reason it's pulling that blood back as well, if you get cut or bit, evolution comes into play here. We used to get bitten by things. If you got bit on the arm or the leg, you didn't bleed out and die right then and there. You didn't bleed at all. So you were able to get back to safety and then tend to your wounds to keep from bleeding out. So if you were to get cut in the middle of this, you're not going to bleed. And it kind of depends on where you get cut. If it's a major artery, it's still going to bleed because that major artery is taking it to some place that's vital. But if you cut off your finger or lower part of your leg or part of your arm, you're not going to bleed. So That's a good thing to an extent, but there's just so many negatives to this SNS kicking in that you want to try and avoid it, and you want to train so that if it does hit, your body just does what it's been trained to do. And that's why it takes so long to learn martial arts. And I know some studios, you can get that black belt in a year or two, and, you know, I hope you're training every single day and all day long to get that. But I know that's not true in majority of the cases. And that worries me. Every style, every art, every school has a different reason for its stuff. But I am a firm believer that if you're going into martial arts for self-defense, you need to have a very solid fundamental system that trains you heavily for a very long time. And for me, giving out a black belt anything less than 3 or 4 years is probably not going to happen. I can't remember the last time I've done that. And usually when it's been 2 or 3 years, usually around 3 years is the earliest, they train constantly, not just in class, but they go home and train. They live the martial arts training. That is very hard to do. That's not your average person. So understand just how important that is to do the training. Now, let's move into the prevention awareness side of this. This helps you avoid hitting the SNS, so you don't have to deal with this whole system. And you can think clearly about what you're doing. Because, again, the cognitive side of your brain is not going to have blood to it. So you're not going to be able to use it. You're not going to be able to think and go, okay, should I do this? Should I do that? And it's crucial that you can think through this stuff and make rational decisions. You know, it could be that you don't need to defend yourself. You made a mistake and this person isn't a threat. It's very important to know. You don't want to turn around, kill somebody and stab them and go, whoops, they were just tapping me on the shoulder looking for directions. That's not good. You're going to jail and you just killed somebody. Luckily you don't hear that very often, if at all. You never know, but, point being, you want to be out of that system as much as possible. So prevention and awareness is where it's at. And we've talked about this on podcasts before. I'm going to keep talking about it. How to avoid a threat, how to spot a threat, because a vast majority of, altercations can be avoided if you just know what to look for. All right. There's a lot that goes into this, but I want you to keep listening to these types of podcasts, read up on it, take my classes, whatever it is. We do talk about this. I have a whole pamphlet full of stuff. If I have not given this to you and you're either a friend of mine or definitely a student of mine, let me know. Chances are you're going to read through it. If you don't have it and you've been a student with me for quite a while, you're going to go, oh, yeah, we've talked about all this stuff. I get it. Yeah, I don't need the pamphlet anymore. I know it. I live this. But being aware of what's going on, you want to spot this threat from a distance. All right. Now, I want to go briefly into this scenario. When I do my self-defense courses, this is one of the first things we go through. This is the what we just talked about, understanding that threat from a distance so you can avoid the SNS. Let's put you in a scenario, and there's multiple scenarios out there. I try and cover the basis with this one, but there's always going to be a what if. Don't worry about the what ifs right now. You're in the middle of the parking lot. It's fairly dark, and let's say your child just locked the doors and you're trying to get in. You've got the keys, thankfully, but you are walking to the door and realize it's locked. All right, maybe they have the keys. You don't have the keys. You got to find a way in. But you can't just abandon this car is the kind of the point of what I'm trying to make here. And you see somebody from a distance and they're walking towards you. You do not know who they are. Now, if possible, you run. But again, I just told you, your child is trapped in this car. He just locked the doors on you. Little butthead. What are you going to do? All right, you can't leave. You got to protect that car. You got to protect that child. So if you cannot get in, what are you going to do? That's the question I present to one of the first questions I present to people in that self-defense seminar. Do you wait for them to get closer and try to figure things out? And then if they attack, you defend yourself. do you wait for them to get closer and then just suddenly attack them because they shouldn't be near you? No. You have to decide, is this a threat or not? So the first thing you need to do, and this is so much better as a visual, I actually go through a stance and a combination that we use. It's not going to work very well for a podcast, but I want to give you what to say and how to prepare for this. First and foremost, you put your hands up and show them your palms. Think of putting both hands up and pushing with your palms from a distance. What does that do? What do you think I'm trying to say right there? If someone is throwing their hands up at you, there's a handful of universal signals that no matter what part of the world you're in, even some remote village that they've never seen outside people, if you do this gesture to them, they will understand it means stop or back away. It's a universal signal. And so you're throwing up this universal signal of stop right where you are. You're verbally saying stop right where you are. And then you're asking, what is it you need? You're being loud but clear and not necessarily angry or anything else. You're just being very clear with this. It's not going to initiate anything other than response. So their only proper response is to stop where they are and to say exactly what they're doing. If they do that, and let's say they stop and go, just walking by, I didn't even notice you there. No big deal. As long as they kind of avoid you and don't keep walking straight to you, it's fine. Maybe they're looking for directions. Go, oh, that's no problem. Just stay right there. What are you looking at? And if they start walking closer, make sure you say, oh, no, please stay right there. Any good person will respond correctly and stay right where they're at. All right, they're not going to keep coming closer to you. So make sure they do not start walking closer. Now, let's say, worst case scenario, they ignore you. They just keep walking. So if we have time and there's space, we yell it out much louder, more aggressively, and say, stop right there. What do you want? And hopefully they finally notice you and go, oh, geez, I didn't even see that you were there. Maybe their head was down. Maybe they had a hood on or something. They had headphones on. Didn't see you. No big deal. Go through that whole system of figuring out what's going on, make sure they don't come any closer. But let's, again, take the worst case scenario. They're coming closer. If they see you, hear you, and still ignore you, who are they? They are a threat, and you have to do something about it. All right? You can't just wait for them to come over and start attacking you, because that's what they're doing. No good person is going to ignore you and just keep walking towards you. And this is one of those times that I say to students, it's okay to throw the first punch because you've determined now that they are a threat. You've exhausted all other possibilities and they have blown through all the warning signs and are still walking towards you. So you have to make that first attack, essentially, to defend yourself, because you know them ignoring all the warning signs is the first actual attack. Don't wait for them to get closer and hurt you. All right, so if you have weapons, whatever it is, that's when you need to start taking out. Let's say you have a gun, make sure you point and say, stop, I will shoot if you do not keep your distance. Hopefully they stop at that point, but you never know. Be prepared mentally as well as physically to do what's necessary to protect yourself and protect that kid that's in that car, your family, whatever it may be. All right. So there's a whole checklist of things that by the time a threat gets near you, you should know if it's a threat or not. All right. It should hopefully never be a sudden appearance of a threat. Now, that's still going to happen. That falls into that category of the very few times that you can't do anything about this. Hopefully, you just have enough training that you react, and hopefully, they make a mistake, and you can defend yourself. All right? That's such a small percentage chance, though. So, it's usually someone that's right in front of you or trying to take advantage of you when you're not paying attention. And if you're paying attention, they can't take advantage of you. All right. So make sure you're not looking down at your phone while you're walking down a dark alley. Seems obvious, but we do it all the time, unfortunately. So those are some things to think about when it comes to that SNS, that sympathetic nervous system going on there. There's other things to think about. We'll go into more in depth with things in future podcasts. I wanted to get you to understand the difference between that parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system, why that's so important, and why I teach this to students as fast as possible, as soon as possible, and make them understand how critical it is that they really work hard at the physical side of this, as well as the prevention mindset and that awareness mindset. You don't want to be caught off guard and not have anything ready to go with that. It's the worst case scenario. It's that option. I've heard this before. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. But you need to be prepared as a fighter and choose to be the lover, not the fighter. When you don't have that option, you have no choice. You're the victim. When you have the option, you cannot be the victim. You can choose if you want to be the victim, if you want to. You can choose to avoid it, but there's an option there. And that's what you should always be working for. You should always want an option. You don't want life dictated to you by someone else or something else. So you train to have an option. You can choose not to have that option. And that's a huge point that I try and make to students and anybody that wants to listen. Unfortunately, not too many people listen. You can be talking straight to them and they have their fingers in their ears. They don't want to hear it. I can't help those people. But if you're taking the time to learn, listen to this, then you're not one of those people. You're one of the people that want to learn. And that's great, because you're the person listening right now will not be the victim. Remember that. You're taking the time to learn how not to be a victim. And that's why I do so much with what I do with my classes. Some of the things don't always seem normal, and they're not always straightforward, but it's all towards this, giving you those options, training your body, training your mind to defend yourself. All right. I want to end that there. Again, there's a lot more that we can go into with this, but I think that's a pretty brief description, but a clear description of what's going on if you're attacked. So think that through. If you have questions, ask at any point with any of these podcasts. If you have a question, let me know. Post it up. I believe all these are on Patreon right now. Someday, I hope to start releasing these for free or with sponsors, whatever it may be. But for now, it's on Patreon, trying to get me through this shutdown and try and get some food is what this comes down to. And maybe pay some bills. I don't know. But it's a tough time right now. So any amount is appreciated. Try and tell other people to do it, because I'm trying to get some good information on here. As well as get some good people on here. You've heard Brent on here a couple times. We've actually had two other podcasts that did not make it. they died. They had a horrible death. I don't know what happened to them. I'm still trying to figure it out. Maybe one day I'll be able to recover one of them. I don't know. But he will be on more. I do have others that I want to get on, so hopefully he'll hear some more good stories from great martial arts instructors and just martial artists. I want to get as many people on here as possible, as many different viewpoints as possible. So I'm having fun with this. I hope you're enjoying it, and until next time.